Hey guys, I'd like to introduce you to a new podcast that I know you're going to love. Do you like travel? Do you like picturesque locations and getting away from it all? Well, this new podcast has all that and murder. It's called Slaycation, and it's a darkly humorous look at murders and mysterious deaths that took place on vacation. Hosted by a true crime fanatic, her comedy writer husband, and his TV producing partner, Slaycation brings a unique perspective to chilling, thrilling, and WTF stories of vacations gone horribly wrong. From the twisted tale of Harold and Tony Henthorne, whose romantic anniversary in the Rocky Mountains ended with one of them falling off a cliff, to Angelica and Vincent, two recently engaged lovebirds whose Hudson Valley kayaking adventure ended underwater. Each episode of Slaycation will have you asking, accident or murder? But it's not just the stories that'll intrigue you. It's the discussion between a longtime married couple and business partners who happen to be Emmy-nominated TV producers. Each episode of Slaycation also includes humor, takeaway and travel tips that will keep your next vacation from being your last. If you're ready to pack your body bags, Slaycation is available on all major podcast platforms. Search for Slaycation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Scary Mysteries Twisted Twos, The Unabomber and Pizzagate. Tales of hauntings, murder, and scary mysteries. Every week, Twisted Twos dives into a pair of uniquely terrifying true stories that are worthy of a more in-depth look. For this week, we focus on a reclusive genius turned serial bomber and the terrifying conspiracy known as Pizzagate. Get ready for Scary Mysteries Twisted Twos. Number 1. The Unabomber. Hailed as a prodigy, Ted Kaczynski was only 16 years old when he was admitted as a student to Harvard University. Born to Polish-American parents in Chicago, Illinois, Ted was the eldest of two children. When he was 9 months old, he suffered a severe allergic reaction that forced his parents to hospitalize him, where he was then placed in isolation. Despite being a baby, his mother would write that after he got out of the hospital, even though healthy now, he had become unresponsive and acted as though he was still in isolation. Ted's elementary years were considered normal by his own account. Then in fifth grade, he skipped ahead 2 years for having an IQ of 167, which is well above the genius level. This change had a pivotal impact on him, and he began to withdraw, feeling out of place amongst the older kids. Ted was bullied because of his small frame and for being younger. When he entered Harvard at 16, he studied mathematics, and many of his dorm mates described him as a quiet, reserved young man. It was on campus where he participated in a questionable psychological experiment put together by Henry Murray. The test subjects were told they would be debating personal philosophy with other students, but instead they were subjected to personally abusive attacks. It's believed that his participation in this was a crucial trigger point for Ted's actions later in life. He went on to teach math at the University of Michigan, and at 25 years old was considered the youngest math professor working there. However, on June 30th, 1969, after just 2 years of teaching, he abruptly resigned without any explanation. After he left his job, he moved back to his parents' home in Illinois before moving out again 2 years later. This time, he moved into a small cabin just outside Lincoln, Montana. He lived a simple life where he had no electricity or water and attempted to be self-sufficient. He would support himself with odd jobs here and there. Despite initially being successful at living an autonomous lifestyle, he soon realized it was nearly impossible to continue the same way, as he saw the continuous destruction of the areas around him. In particular, he recounts one place he always loved to visit to gain some peace of mind, and the anger he felt when it was destroyed in order to build a road. This was the final straw, and started a chain reaction in him where he turned to a life of crime and terrorism. In May of 1978, Ted sent his first mail bomb to engineering professor Buckley Crist. Buckley received the package, but was immediately suspicious and called campus police. A security officer opened it, and it exploded, causing minor injuries to the officer's hands. Soon he turned his attention to bigger companies, primarily United Airlines. He sent two bombs, one in 1979, which failed to detonate in flight, and again in 1980, which was sent to the president of the company. He also sustained injuries when it exploded, but luckily he survived. By this time, Ted was dubbed as the Unabomb, short for University and Airline Bomber. However, his identity remained unknown to authorities. Kaczynski's homemade explosives soon got more sophisticated. By 1982, he sent another bomb to a university that caused serious injuries to two people. There was a momentary lull for a few years before he showed up again in December of 1985. This time, his bomb killed a computer shop owner. His capture finally came in 1995 when the now infamous Unabomber demanded that major newspapers like the New York Times publish his 35,000-word manifesto. Although the FBI was hesitant, they thought someone out there might recognize his writing style and words. In the end, their gamble paid off. David Kaczynski's wife, Linda, was the first to bring his attention to the manifesto and thought it was similar to his brother Ted's stance and writing style. Initially doubtful, David soon confirmed his wife's suspicions and contacted the FBI in 1996 about the possibility that his brother could be the Unabomber. On April 3, 1996, Ted was finally arrested at his cabin home in Montana. Inside, the FBI found one complete bomb that was ready for mailing, various bomb parts, and 40,000 pages of his journals, including details about his various crimes. Despite insisting that no insanity plea be entered and that he would represent himself, Ted accepted a plea deal, admitting guilt to 13 federal bombing charges in order to avoid the death penalty. In total, he caused 23 injuries and 3 deaths, and is currently incarcerated in a Supermax facility in Florence, Colorado. Number 2, Pizzagate. Although it's been widely debunked, Pizzagate nevertheless caused havoc, suspicion, and even led to one shooting incident. Pizzagate revolved around the conspiracy theory that various Washington officials, particularly Hillary Clinton and her campaign manager John Podesta, were involved in a widespread pedophile ring. Meanwhile, the pizza chain Comet Ping Pong became central in the conspiracy, having been used as an area for DNC fundraisers before and having close ties with the Democratic Party. The conspiracy alleges that the building was the exact location of the pedophile ring, most likely because its owner, James Elefantis, is closely identified with right-wing politics and was even named as one of Washington, D.C.'s top 50 most powerful men. This conspiracy first sprouted in October of 2016 near the end of the presidential election. A Twitter account linked to a white supremacist group claimed that the NYPD had seized Anthony Weiner's laptop during the sexting scandals he was involved in and discovered a pedophile ring that was tied to the Democratic Party. Soon, attention and interest turned to John Podesta's emails that were leaked alongside Hillary's. Unable to find anything substantial, a theory was proposed that the ring and those involved used code words while communicating. Incidentally, the term cheese pizza was an inside joke among 4chan users referring to child pornography. Basing it on the various times generic food was mentioned and other minute details, the conspiracy soon soared and was heavily spread in social media and in various online forums. Soon, Comet Ping Pong, a kid-friendly establishment, became the center of attention as it was supposedly the main hub where everything was happening. More than child sex trafficking, the conspiracy also states that the same people and establishment are involved in satanic ritual abuse, even going as far as saying it was somehow tied to the Madeleine McCain disappearance. The story was picked up by various fake websites and spread. Even international media, particularly those in Turkey, pushed for the story to become front and center. It wasn't long before employees and the owner himself began receiving death threats and were constantly being terrorized by those who believed the conspiracy to be true. It wasn't just Comet Ping Pong that had to fend off attacks by those who believed in the existence of the sex ring. Various establishments in the surrounding area also received a fair amount of hate and harassment. This extended to the artist who frequently did murals for Comet Ping Pong, as well as the bands that managed to play at the establishment. The Pizzagate scandal was thrust into national news on December 4, 2016, when 28-year-old Edgar Welch marched into Comet Ping Pong with a semi-automatic rifle and fired 3 shots. According to Welch, he went there to self-investigate the theory to see if child sex slaves were indeed harbored inside. He said that he had read about the theory online, and after his arrest, he was sentenced to 4 years in prison after pleading guilty. Another person was also sentenced to jail in relation to the theory. Yusuf Lee Jones, called Besta Pizza, which is on the same block as Comet Ping Pong, threatening the owner just 3 days after Edgar Welch's attack. Despite the guilty pleas, many people believe the attacks were staged to help discredit the investigation. The conspiracy itself has been widely debunked by various agencies, including the New York Times and Snopes.com. Various news organizations and even the Metropolitan Police Department of the District of Columbia also call it fictitious. Despite this, there are still some who believe that Pizzagate is a very real satanic pedophile ring. So those were two of the most reclusive and strange stories around. The world can be a crazy place, and Twisted Twos is sure to show you why. If you enjoyed this video, then please subscribe to our channel so we can bring you new, scary, and strange stories every single week. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon.